We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 today, and then we'll skip over into Luke chapter 1, also beginning with verse 34. You follow along. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And moving over to Luke chapter 1 for a little more detail. Chapter 1, verse 34. Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, because with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In Matthew, we read, this is how the birth of Jesus occurred. There's a lot of stories. You read the news, you read culture, you read history. There's a lot of maybe fantasy involved in how the birth of Jesus occurred as people try to explain a supernatural event. But Scripture tells us that this is God's Word. Way back in the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah that God, through the Holy Spirit, through the prophet, made a prophecy that a child would be born from a woman that had never known a man. In Jewish culture, a young man would come to a young lady and would request permission to marry her. And generally, after an engagement, he would depart back to his home where he lived. Sometimes he was in the same village, or sometimes it was in another village or another city. And he would go back to his hometown or his village, and he would prepare a home, a place where he could later bring his wife, and they would consummate their marriage, and then they would live there and raise their family. And then he would often come to pick up his bride when she least expected it. She would generally know it would happen sometime in the future. Generally, it would happen about a year later. Oftentimes, a messenger, a friend of the bridegroom, would come and announce that the bridegroom is coming. And oftentimes, the bridegroom would come at night when the bride was asleep and surprise her. This was part of Jewish culture. And then they would have the marriage ceremony, and they would have a feast, generally lasted a week. And then he would take her back to live with him in the house that he had prepared. And that's a picture of what Jesus Christ is doing for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he will take us to be with him one day. But to get back to the story, this is how the birth of Jesus occurred. Mary was engaged to Joseph. They were in this process. And during this process, Mary has a visit from the angel that tells her that she will become pregnant and she will have a child. And for Mary, this was quite disturbing. And she asks the angel, "How can this happen?" Mary was a godly young lady. She was pure. She was a virgin, Scripture tells us. And contrary to what a lot of people try to say, she had never been with Joseph. Joseph, we read last Sunday, our pastor had a message for us about the godly and the righteous character of Joseph, the man that was engaged to her. And so for both of them, this came as a total surprise. And yet, notice Matthew writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit, Luke writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit, declare what is the Word of God. God in His Word always says exactly what He means. And God's Word means exactly what God said. Having made the prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 7, 14, you can read it at home, this occurs. God not only keeps His Word, He fulfills His promises to His people and to us. And so to Mary's question, how can this be? The angel gives her a very simple, a very short explanation. He doesn't give her medical advice. He doesn't give her some sort of philosophical or psychological explanation. He simply says, this is the word of the Lord, and this is how it will happen. It will happen to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all that Scripture reveals to us about what Mary knew. And in a very short time, Mary discovers that she is indeed pregnant. And we know the rest of the story. She reveals it to Joseph, and Joseph, wanting to protect her, decided to divorce her. Because you say, she was only engaged. But in those days, an engagement was equivalent to a marriage. It simply had not yet been formally consummated. It had not actually been completed yet, but the process had begun. And so in the public eyes and in God's eyes and in the culture of the day, it was as though they were literally already married. And so the angel tells Mary, this is how it's going to be. Very important for us to realize the reason why Jesus Christ needed to be born of a virgin. We read in Romans that sin is passed on to every one of us through our birth. Every child that is born, every baby that is born with a sin nature. And that is a result of Adam having sin. And every person born today is born sinful. And if Jesus Christ had been born as a result of a union between Joseph and Mary, he would have been a sinner just like all of us. And so God needed to circumvent, and he needed to go around the physical, natural way of birth and create a person, a unique person. No one ever existed or will exist or live like Jesus Christ. He was 100% God, 100% divine, and he was 100% human. He had a human body, but he did not have a human father. That's why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the body of Mary. And as we read the genealogy of Jesus Christ in both Matthew and in Luke, interestingly enough, we find one goes back all the way to Adam and one goes back to David. One goes back through Mary's genealogy to Nathan, one of the sons of David, and one goes back to the genealogy from Solomon. The promises had been made to God, and God fulfills his promises. And yet in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read that he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, who was sinless as a result of this supernatural birth that God occurred, God, through Jesus Christ, put our sins upon Jesus Christ in a substitutionary way. Just like we all become sinners and we're born sinners because we're in Adam, in the very same way, being in Jesus Christ now, we get a new life that God gives to us. And so the virgin birth of Jesus Christ was a necessity that many people sadly do not understand the reason for that. But that was so that Jesus Christ would live a human life, a sinless human life, and be able to become a qualified candidate to go on a cross and bear our sin. There's a lot of Greek mythological stories about the gods having physical children with women. But all of that is fantasy. In Scripture, we find the one real example of when this really happened by the one true living God, who through the Holy Spirit, Mary conceived Jesus Christ, and she bore a son. Notice, as the angel explains to her, he says, in answer to her question, how can this happen? This is supernatural. This is something that does not happen. Her mind could not comprehend it. And the angel answers to her, what is impossible for people is totally possible with God. And as an example, the angel points to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was an older lady that had never had children with her husband, Zacharias, and she, in her old age, is now pregnant with a child. This is a story that is very similar to the story of Abraham and Sarah, who in her old age was able to conceive and bear a son of promise. And in the very same way, the angel points to Elizabeth, the relative of Mary, and says, you see, here's an example of what God can do in a physical way, and with you, something will happen in a supernatural way. And so, Mary, notice her in her godliness. Notice she answers to the angel and says, first of all, she says in verse 38, behold, here I am. She presents herself to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we read about presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice so that through that process we can come to know God's will in our life, which is good and perfect and acceptable. And Mary is presenting herself and her body and her life, knowing the stigma that's going to carry to her whole life. Because people, even when Jesus was alive, would accuse him of being born out of wedlock. And Mary carried the stigma with her all of her life. And yet she presents herself and she accepts this from the Lord. She says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Lord, I am here to do your will. I accept what you're saying. Let it be to me. Notice she says, according to your word. There are situations we find in our life that sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our life, but when we accept it according to the word of God, God works things out in her life. And so Mary accepts it, and she believes it, and she lives it, and she says, let it be according to your word. And so my prayer today is that we would also be seeking God's will in our life and the things we do. And primarily for those of you maybe that have come and you don't know Jesus Christ yet, this day, this is the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ that came into the world, sent by the Father to become a perfect sacrifice. He lived a perfect, sinless, holy life so that you can go to the cross as a substitute for every one of us. And you can accept that by faith and receive the life that God promises to you. And so may God bless his word. Amen.